Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to extract those crucial nuggets of knowledge, getting you truly well-informed. Today, we're diving into a world where time, well, it isn't just measured, it's meticulously crafted, often with a price tag that's honestly hard to believe. Just imagine this for a second. The most expensive watch ever sold. It didn't just break records. It fetched over $30 million. That's more than a mansion for something you wear on your wrist. It's kind of mind-boggling, isn't it? What actually goes into making a timepiece command such an astronomical price? So that's our mission today. We're taking a shortcut through the intricate world of Patek Philippe. It's a name synonymous with unparalleled luxury, pinpoint precision, and yeah, those astronomical values in watchmaking. We want you to gain a deep understanding of why these watches are so coveted, not just as timekeepers, but as engineering marvels, genuine art, and even surprisingly robust investments. Get ready for some serious aha moments, you know, insights that might just make you look at luxury watches in a whole new light. We've compiled insights from comprehensive articles, market analyses.
You're basically looking at the most expensive Patek Philippe watches ever sold, with data right up to 2025 to bring you the key takeaways.
It really is a fascinating intersection. You've got centuries of craftsmanship and innovation meeting the raw forces of market dynamics and, well, human desire. It goes way beyond simple utility. It's something much deeper.
Indeed. So let's start at the very beginning. How did a company founded, what, nearly two centuries ago, become this undisputed titan in the luxury world?
Right. We need to go back to 1839 in Geneva. That's where Antoni Patek and François Zapek laid the foundation. And from the get-go, the brand was known for, well, incredible materials, really fine craftsmanship, and just wonderful design.
And Patek himself, wasn't he originally a Polish soldier and artist, forced to leave Poland and then channeled that into watchmaking?
That's right. An interesting background. And it's important to understand that in those very early days, they weren't even producing their own movements. You know, the complex inner workings. They'd buy these eboshes, basically raw, unfinished movements from other specialists. Then they'd case them, with Patek and Zapek handling all the intricate finishing touches.
Huh. That's a fascinating detail. So the focus was really on the artistry and assembly early on. Now, this next part involves a bit of a, well, a risky maneuver, didn't it? Something that really reshaped their destiny.
It did. In 1844, Patek had this fateful meeting with Adrien Philippe, a young French inventor. Philippe had developed something quite groundbreaking, the keyless winding mechanism. No more separate key needed to wind and set the watch.
Okay, so Patek saw the potential there.
He did. He made what you call a risky maneuver, parted ways with Zapek, and formed a new partnership with Philippe. Patek Philippe & Cie was born.
And that decision, wow. Transformative seems like an understatement.
Absolutely. Philippe's technical genius was the perfect complement to Patek's entrepreneurial vision and artistic sense. The keyless winding wasn't just a convenience. It fundamentally changed watch design, how people interacted with watches. It really cemented Patek Philippe's reputation early on as a brand built on functional innovation, not just looking good.
Right. Not just aesthetics.
Exactly. And that early embrace of tech became a real hallmark for them.
And the innovations just kept rolling in, didn't they?
They did. 1868, they introduced the world's first wristwatch. I mean, think about that shift away from pocket watches.
Huge historical moment.
Definitely. And that propelled them onto the international stage pretty quickly. Actually, even before that, 1857, Queen Victoria herself ordered a keyless winding watch.
The royal endorsement. At the Universal Exhibition in London, no less.
Precisely. Talk about prestige.
So they were already mixing with royalty early on.
Mm-hmm. And the technical advancements continued. 1925, they produced the first wristwatch with a perpetual calendar.
Okay, explain that again, the perpetual calendar.
Right. It's a mechanism that automatically adjusts for the different number of days in each month and for leap years. Incredibly complex for the time, especially in a wristwatch.
Wow. They kept pioneering other things, too.
Oh, yeah. First, bracelet chronographs. Those are stopwatch functions sometimes with split-second mechanisms, which are even more complex. And even the first wristwatches with minute repeating.
Minute repeating.
Yeah.
That's the chiming one, right?
Exactly. Push a button and it audibly chimes the hours, quarter hours, and minutes. An incredibly intricate complication.
It's just remarkable how they consistently pushed those horological boundaries, putting multiple complications together way before most others were even thinking about it.
That's a key point. They weren't afraid of complexity.
Even after the huge economic crisis of 1929, they didn't slow down. That's when the Calatrava model emerged, right?
Yes, the iconic Calatrava. And it wasn't just a simple watch. It featured a triple date, perpetual calendar, moon phases, and minute repeating.
All in one watch.
All in one. It was considered the most sophisticated timepiece of its age. A real statement piece.
And the Calatrava cross logo, that came around then too.
It became their symbol around the end of the 19th century, actually. It originated from a Spanish religious order. It's now instantly recognizable.
Right, and then came another pivotal moment, the ownership change in 1932.
Mm-hmm. The Stern brothers bought the company, and crucially, it became a family-owned business, which it still is today, now led by Philippe Stern and his son Thierry Stern.
And that family ownership, that continuity, that seems really important for a brand like this.
It's incredibly important. It allows for a long-term perspective. They can make decisions based on quality, on legacy, not just quarterly results or short-term market fads. That's quite rare in the luxury world today.
Yeah, you don't see that often. And they kept innovating even into more modern times, the Nautilus in 76.
A game changer, designed by the legendary Gerald Genta. Then the Gondolo in 93, the 24 Ladies watch in 99.
So constantly reinventing, but staying true to that core identity.
Exactly. It's a balancing act they've mastered. Today, they're firmly in the big three of Swiss watchmakers, alongside Audemars, Piguet, and Vacheron Constantin. They cater to dignitaries, celebrities, royalty, and consistently produce some of the world's most expensive, most sought-after watches.
Okay, so that's the incredible history and legacy. But let's shift gears a bit, because there's this whole other fascinating angle. Patek Philippe as an investment. I mean, these aren't just pretty things you wear. They're known for retaining value, often even increasing significantly. That makes them more than just a luxury buy.
That's absolutely right. And if we look at the market data, specifically, say, from January 2020 up to 2025, we see some really interesting dynamics. During the sort of COVID era boom, average prices on the secondary market really accelerated. They peaked around the second quarter of 2022.
Right. Analysts called it a frothy market. Lots of disposable income floating around.
Exactly. A unique set of circumstances. But then, like a lot of markets, things tailed off dramatically, as you said. Economic uncertainty started creeping in. Interest rates went up.
Standard economic pressure is starting to bite, even at the high end.
Mm-hmm. But here's the kicker. Despite that recent contraction, the long-term picture is still remarkably strong. Between January 2020 and 2025, the average price of a Patek Philippe watch still rose about 80%, went from around $80,000 to $147,000 on average.
80%. Okay, how does that compare to, say, the stock market?
Good question. Over that exact same period, the S&P 500 index, a really broad measure of the U.S. stock market, rose by about 45%.
So wait. A Patek Philippe watch, on average, outperformed the S&P 500 since January 2020.
As an investment class, yes. It's outperformed. That's a pretty significant data point for anyone considering luxury collectibles as assets.
That is a huge takeaway. Wow. Okay, so the market cooled off from the peak, but the underlying value held up incredibly well. Any signs of stabilization recently?
There are. Actually, over the last 6 months or so leading into 2025, we saw some stability. Two specific models, the 59761G and the 5650G, actually ticked up in value about 4.9% and 1.9% respectively, and other models seem to have found their footing.
Okay, so maybe the steep drop-off is over.
It raises that key question, doesn't it? Was the slump just a correction after that massive run-up, or was it signaling something deeper? The consensus seems to be leaning towards correction. While those really dramatic price rises were likely due to a specific confluence of factors maybe not easily repeated, the general outlook remains positive. Experts suggest that slow and steady returns await quality brands with sterling reputations and historical significance.
So the froth might be gone, but the fundamental value proposition is still there.
Precisely. It highlights how even these super exclusive markets aren't totally immune to external economic factors, but also shows the resilience and enduring appeal of brands like Patek Philippe, built on history and craftsmanship.
And speaking of those external factors, global events can have really unpredictable impacts, can't they? Even on something seemingly insulated like luxury watches. The Ukraine war, starting in 2022, definitely had an effect.
It absolutely did. You saw an immediate economic downturn ripple outwards. Russia and Ukraine together, while not enormous globally, still account for about 2.2% of global spending. With the tragic situation unfolding, many Ukrainians were obviously focused on survival and well-being, and Russians began facing sanctions and embargoes. So, consumer spending from that region definitely decreased.
Right, which naturally hits luxury goods production and sales.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just fewer buyers from that specific region. Production costs started climbing globally.
Supply chain issues and inflation hitting everywhere.
Exactly. Rising prices for raw materials, gold, silver, diamonds, plus higher transportation costs, energy costs. It all adds up. So you have fewer buyers in some areas and higher costs to produce the watches. That puts a squeeze on profit margins.
So what did brands like Patek do? Just absorb the costs?
Not entirely. Many luxury brands, Patek included, responded by implementing pretty significant price increases in their major markets, think China, Europe, the US, just to try and maintain profitability levels.
A tough balancing act. You mentioned something counterintuitive earlier, that the war also had a strange, paradoxical effect on demand.
Yes, this is where it gets really interesting. For some wealthy individuals, particularly those facing economic instability or high inflation, these watches actually became more desirable.
More desirable. How does that work? It seems contradictory.
Well, they were seen not just as symbols of luxury, but as tangible assets, a hedge against inflation. Think about it. In places like Russia, where the ruble's value plummeted and financial markets faced restriction.
People look for somewhere safe to park their money.
Exactly. And high-end watches, especially Patek Philippe with their proven value retention, were seen as goods that might preserve value better than other types might during times when inflation is rampant, a physical store of wealth.
So a luxury item acting almost like gold in a way, a safe haven asset.
In a sense, yes. For a certain segment of the market under specific pressures, but then you have the complicating factor of governments seizing assets.
Right, you mentioned the Russian government seizing luxury watches.
Yes. In response to international sanctions, they began seizing luxury goods, including watches, from foreign entities or those deemed unfriendly. This created a weird internal dynamic, potentially increasing domestic demand within Russia as international supply dried up, but simultaneously damaging Russia's international standing.
And potentially removing a significant future market for Patek,
Right.
right? Russian oligarchs have historically been big buyers.
It definitely could. It really underscores how geopolitics directly impacts the luxury goods market in complex ways. You see supply chain disruptions, shifts in consumer psychology driven by fear and uncertainty, and even direct government actions shaping the market.
It just shows how interconnected everything is. Nothing exists in a vacuum, not even ultra-luxury watches.
Absolutely not.
Okay, let's transition now to the main event, really, the watches themselves. Let's dive into the absolute pinnacle, the pieces that command those seven, sometimes even eight-figure sums. We need to understand what sets these specific watches apart. What's the why behind those astronomical price tags?
Right, and we're talking about pieces that are often unique works of art. The value comes from a combination of factors: extreme rarity, undeniable historical significance, maybe unparalleled mechanical complexity, often all three.
Okay, before we hit the absolute top list, maybe give us a few examples that illustrate those points.
Sure. A great modern example is the Patek Philippe Nautilus 5711 Tiffany Blue. Remember that one?
Oh yeah, the hype was insane.
Exactly. A collaboration between two huge luxury names, limited to just 170 pieces. Retail was about $52,000, which is already high, but not crazy for Patek. But the very first one auctioned, it hammered down for $6.5 million.
6.5 million, just wow, what drove that?
It's a perfect storm, really. Extreme scarcity, the power of the Tiffany & Co. brand association, the Nautilus's iconic status, and just a huge amount of modern market hype. It became an instant legend.
A perfect example of branding and scarcity driving value through the roof.
Okay, what else? Let's look at artistry. The 1953 Hermès Universelle's model 2523 that fetched $2.9 million. Its value isn't just the 18-karat gold case, it's the stunning, intricate enamel dial showing a map of North America.
Pure craftsmanship on display.
Unparalleled decorative art. Then, for mechanical complexity, consider the Skymoon Tourbillon 6002G. Sells for around $1.5 million. It's adored for its incredibly complicated movement. It features a tourbillon, that rotating cage, improving accuracy, plus really detailed, beautiful hand engravings all over the case. Complex mechanics meets high art.
Okay, complexity and art. What about historical significance?
A great example is the 1923 Officer, sold for $2.965 million. Why? It's literally one of a kind, and it's recognized as the world's first split-seconds chronograph wristwatch with a 60-minute counter.
The first ever. A genuine historical milestone you can wear.
Exactly. Provenance matters hugely. And for the ultimate personal touch, there's the 1927-minute repeating wristwatch. This one sold for $2.99 million. It was designed specifically for the legendary American collector Henry Graves Jr. It's engraved with his personal motto, esse quam videri, to be rather than to seem, and bears his family coat of arms.
So a bespoke commission for a famous collector adds immense value.
Immense value. These pieces aren't just watches, they're horological milestones, often setting new standards, showcasing incredible provenance, or both.
Incredible stories behind each one. Okay, let's do it. Let's count down the absolute top tier, the most expensive Patek Philippe watches ever sold, as of 2025 data. Where do we start?
All right, coming in at number five is the Patek Philippe Gubby Milan Heirs Universelles 2523. This sold for $8.97 million.
Nearly $9 million. What makes this one so special? Another world timer.
Yes, but extreme rarity is the key here. It's believed only 7 examples of this reference were made in pink gold with these cloisonné enamel dials. This specific one has a blue enamel center, and it's thought to be the only pink gold one with a blue enamel center known to survive. Plus, it's double signed, bearing both the Patek Philippe name and that of the prestigious Milan retailer, Gobi.
Wow, okay. Rarity upon rarity plus the double signature. Got it. Number four.
Number four is the Patek Philippe Prince Mohamed Toufik A. Toussaint Pink Gold 1518 with French calendar. This fetched $9.57 million.
Pink gold 1518. That sounds rare already.
Extremely. The reference 1518 was the first serially produced perpetual calendar chronograph. Most were yellow gold. Pink gold is much rarer. This one is nicknamed Pink on Pink for its pink gold case and pinkish dial. It was originally purchased by an Egyptian prince in 1951. Critically, it's believed to be the only known version to still have its original certificate, and it's in immaculate condition. Provenance and condition are paramount here.
Royalty, rarity, condition, original papers. Yeah, perfect combination. Okay, number three.
This one is a legend. Number three is the Patek Philippe Stainless Steel 1518, sold for $11.14 million.
Stainless steel, selling for more than the pink gold one. That seems counterintuitive for luxury watches.
Normally, yes. But again, it comes down to extreme rarity. As we said, the 1518 was the world's first perpetual calendar chronograph series. They made 281 of them in total over its production run. Almost all were in yellow or pink gold. Only 4 are known to have been made in stainless steel. 4.
Just 4 in steel out of 281.
Exactly. Making a high complication watch like this in steel was almost unheard of at the time. Makes these 4 examples almost mythical among collectors. One of the most desirable watches in the world, period.
Okay, that explains the price. Steel becomes rarer than gold. Incredible. Now, number two must be something truly special.
Oh, it is. Number two is the Patek Philippe Henry Graves Super Complication. This fetched a mind-boggling $23.98 million.
Nearly $24 million. And this one's a pocket watch, right? Not a wristwatch.
Correct. Commissioned by the American banker Henry Graves Jr., the same guy from the earlier watch back in 1925, it was basically a competition between him and automaker James Packard to own the most complicated watch in the world. Patek Philippe delivered this masterpiece 5 years later. It has an astonishing 24 different complications functions beyond telling time. Think perpetual calendar, minute repeater, sidereal time, celestial charts. Just incredible complexity.
Yeah, weighing 4 functions. How many parts?
It was built from over 900 individual parts, all housed in an 18-karat gold case. It's considered one of the most complicated watches ever made without computer assistance. It's now owned by the Emir of Qatar.
It really is as much a piece of art, a feat of engineering, as it is a watch.
Absolutely. The sheer skill and time involved, almost incomprehensible today.
Okay, $24 million. Astonishing. Yep. But believe it or not, folks, that's still not the most expensive Patek ever sold. What takes the number one spot?
The number one, the Patek Philippe costliest watch as of 2025, and the most expensive watch in the world ever sold at auction to date, is the Patek Philippe Grandmaster Chime 6300. This sold for an unbelievable $31.19 million.
$31 million? Wow. What makes this one the king? Is it even more complicated than the Graves watch?
It is, in wristwatch form. This is a modern masterpiece created for Patek's 175th anniversary. It boasts an astounding 20 complications, but they're incredibly complex ones. It has features like a grande petite sonnerie, chiming the time automatically, a minute repeater, an instantaneous perpetual calendar, a unique date repeater that times the date, and even an alarm function that chimes the alarm time.
20 complications in a wristwatch. Just staggering.
It's double-faced, meaning it has dials on both the front and back, and a patented reversing mechanism for the case. And the specific one, sold at the Only Watch charity auction, is unique because it's the only one ever made in stainless steel.
Ah, steel again. For the unique piece.
Exactly. And it bears a unique engraving on the dial. The only one.
The only one. Can't get more exclusive than that. What a list.
It truly represents the absolute pinnacle of what Patek Philippe can achieve, combining immense complexity, artistry, and ultimate exclusivity.
So, wrapping this all up, we've journeyed through Patek Philippe's incredible history, haven't we? From 1839, those early risky innovations, right up to becoming this global icon of horological excellence. We've seen how these watches can be, well, surprisingly powerful investment assets, outperforming even major stock indices. And we've explored how even a brand at this level isn't immune to global events, but is also shaped by human ingenuity and sometimes geopolitical forces.
Indeed. And I think the takeaway is that whether you're drawn to the meticulous hand-finished craftsmanship, the deep historical significance, the pure artistic design, or maybe the sheer investment potential, Patek Philippe watches offer so much more than just a way to tell time. They really are tangible assets. They capture human ingenuity, passion, that relentless pursuit of mechanical perfection. It's all bundled into this small object.
It really is remarkable. So as we finish this deep dive, here's something to think about, a provocative thought for you. In our world, which is increasingly dominated by digital experiences, fast fashion, ephemeral trends, what does the enduring, often skyrocketing value of these exquisite mechanical timepieces tell us? What does it say about our deep-seated human appreciation for tangible masterpieces, for genuine scarcity? For stories that are literally etched in gold and steel, is it just about displaying wealth, or is there something maybe more profound going on? Something about the human desire for lasting value, for artistry, for a connection to history and skill?
That's a great question to ponder. It really makes you pause and reflect on what we truly value, doesn't it? These watches, in many ways, are like tiny, intricate monuments to human aspiration and incredible skill.
A perfect place to leave it. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the fascinating world of Patek Philippe. We hope you've gained a new appreciation for these truly incredible timepieces.